Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation on our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As a good Christian, there are some things that you should never say, some things that you should never ask. One of those questions is why. Why implies a lack of faith? Why implies the need to understand? But the Lord says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. The Word says, trust. Don't ask why. One day, Job asked, what would be my portion from God above and my heritage from the Almighty on high? He cried out, let the Almighty answer me. He wanted an answer. In effect, Job was asking why he was suffering so much in light of the fact that he lived a righteous life. He was committed to continuing to live that righteous life. He had been living that life. But when the answer finally came, it wasn't exactly the answer that Job was looking for. Job 38, 1-2. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Even before that, Job was already reconsidering his position, recorded at Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. This is why, dear Christians, that St. Paul says by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 2 Corinthians 5:7, declaring how we live in true faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's true that the great Anselm of Canterbury confessed that he was engaged in faith, seeking understanding. But even for Anselm, understanding never preceded faith, but faith preceded understanding. So there you have your moral lesson for the day. Don't ask why. Cut it out. Knock it off. Stop doing it. Well, doesn't it just feel great to get that out of your system? Now you'll probably never do it again, right? If only it was that simple. Thanks be to God that the Lord is always having mercy on us poor sinners. He never said that Scripture would answer all of our questions. But He answers many, and it's only because we choose not to study the Word of Life that we're deprived of so much that would otherwise help us more than we realize. The Holy Scriptures do reveal much regarding the reasons for suffering, that is for sure. Two of those reasons are universal according to God's Word, true for both believers and non-believers. First of all, we all suffer because of the fact that sin has entered into the world, so that now we endure the ramifications of this entry of sin into the world. For example, bystanders, innocent bystanders who suffer the results of war or violent crime. Secondly, the other universal reason is the fact that we suffer the consequences of our own active and actual sins. For example, when we get a speeding ticket, or hurt our bodies due to our vanity. The other reasons, however, are reasons that the scriptures mention specifically for believers. Which is to say, there are many more reasons, according to scripture, that Christians are permitted to suffer. Aren't you glad to be a Christian about this point? Here are some. There's all good reasons for them though, right? 2 Corinthians 1:4, so that we can help others who are going through the same difficulty or hardship. Hebrews 12, so that we can be disciplined and strengthened. 2 Corinthians 12, so that we can learn to lean on God in time of trouble and learn to live by His grace, which is always sufficient for us. 1 Peter 1:7, so that our faith is refined. 1 Peter 4:12, so that we know true joy at the end. Galatians 6:2, as a result of bearing one another's burdens. Philippians 1:29, when we are persecuted for being devoted. Philippians 3:10, so that we may become more like Christ. Acts 5:40 through 41, when we suffer for being faithful witnesses to the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:12, as a result of trying to live the right way. These are reasons the scriptures give. But again, that does not mean that we're given all reasons, not even close. In the end, we are still led to live by faith. But faith in what? Faith in faith? No. Faith in Christ. On the cross of Calvary, our Lord spoke 7 last words. Here they are. It's always good to review them during Holy Week. First, He spoke, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise," speaking to the thief on the cross. Speaking to his mother, Mary, "Dear woman," and then referring to John the Apostle, "here is your son." And then to John the Apostle, "here is your mother," referring back to Mary. Matthew 27:46, my God, why have you forsaken me?" John 19:28, "I am thirsty." John 19:30, "it is finished." Luke 23:46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Of the 7, there is one that is most enigmatic, one that is most mysterious. Jesus, the Son of God, very God of very God, is and was and ever shall be from eternity and forevermore, perfectly one with God the Father. There's no separation between the Father and the Son. They are perfectly united in the mystery of the Godhead. So that in this beautiful unity, notice the way that Jesus prayed on the cross to the Father in the first and the last petition. To review again, "Father, forgive them." And then, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Perfect unity. But in the middle, we see these mysterious words. My God, why? Why have you forsaken me? This is why we can't take our silly, pietistic moral lesson too far this morning. Namely, that those who live in faith don't ask why. Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Because sin is painful. When you are in pain, you say things without even thinking about it. Sometimes our pain and our suffering, our predicament is so dark, so complex, so overwhelming, that logic and reason and all the pretty little religious platitudes that we throw at ourselves or what or others toss our way are just inept and meaningless. It's not because we want to, but in the flame of despair, we poor sinners ask why. Why did this have to happen? Why is this happening now? Why? It is the enunciated cry of those who face their own sin. And the sin that piles up in this world and sometimes feels like it's just crashing down on our heads. So Jesus asks why. The perfect sinless Son of God on the cross said, "Why, God? Why?" There was a reason for it. At that precise moment in time, Jesus was the fulfillment of Psalm 22. Melanchthon wrote, "This describes his obedience at the time when God poured out his wrath upon the Son against the sins of the human race. Jesus willingly assumed these infirmities for us in order that he might become the sacrifice." That is, Jesus said to the Father, "I will go and I will be every person, every sinner, who even when in the blindness of their own rebellion, or when the world comes crashing down on them, cries out, 'Why?'" The parent who lost their child and cries out, "Why?" The child that was subjected to abuse and cries out, "Why?" The depression that followed a Christian throughout life who cried out, "Why?" The brokenness in a marriage that God joined and yet still knows the weight of sin, and husbands and wives cry out, "Why?" The unending pain that accompanies even the joy in ministry. It's easy to say why and be caught off guard, so that even men who are called to preach the faith are tempted to ask the question. But we are not crushed. We are not condemned. Because our sinless Savior asked the question for us. God does not thunder against you this day, dear Christian, shaking his finger at you, saying, "Never ask why." But rather, he declares his love and mercy. "I've sent my Son to cry out those very words for you. It is proof that he bore your infirmities. He carried your sorrows. He took your sin. He became your curse." And with his question, "Why?" I answered, "So that you, my dear Son, would redeem them. So that you would save them. So that sin that inspires all whys would be covered by your perfect sacrifice, by the blood of the Lamb." That is to say, from now on, all of our whys have one answer: Jesus. And for this, we rejoice. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand for the offertory.